Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
I'm Elodie.
It's been an active but quiet kind of a day, if that makes any sense, kind of the yin and the yang here, and the precious metals business, and you have gold today, a little bit of pressure on gold with pressure on the Dow, although I see that the Dow came back somewhat from the big lows of the day. You have gold down 820, currently on the New York spot price, 820 to the downside at 1126.20. Silver down 40 cents, also made a comeback on the day, 1491. You have platinum down 34 bucks. White metals got hammered today for the industrial metals, 3.5% for platinum, just whacked, 941, with palladium down 7 at 613, down 1.14%. And I expect the dollar to be a little bit stronger. Yes, it is, 0.36 at 96.26. Crude oil got hit a little bit. 0.85, although I believe it's come back from the low of the day at 46.17. And the paper markets today, Mondays have become the quiet day of the week, and then the action begins on Tuesdays. You have the Dow down 180 points, 16,330, a little over 1%. The NASDAQ is down 72 points, 47.56, 1.5%. S&P down 24 at 1942, down 1.25%. 10-year yield down 0.09, 2.12%, and the euro down 0.52 at 1.11. The euro has really taken a beating here lately. I think it was just last week where it was 113, 114, and to see that type of a drop in the euro and gold only down a little bit, it's interesting. Good sign. Germany was down almost 4%. London was down almost 3%. Japan was down 2%. Not quite sure where the where Japan settled at on the day. I'd imagine that was much lower on the day. I don't know if I can find that here quickly. Don't know if you heard anything about the didn't have a chance to follow markets today, Al. So did you see what
I try not to follow them. I try to lead them, Melody.
Oh, brother.
Let them follow me.
Oh, brother. Well, I'll try to look that up here in just a little bit. But interesting day. And, you know, hey, we have the Pope coming this week. I don't know if he's here yet today, but people think that there might be a little action going on with the Pope. And I guess Obama was late, kept the Pope in a holding pattern. You know, I'm showing a little disrespect there, I guess. And nothing like waiting for Obama. I mean, it's like, really? Really? Both Obama and Biden. We're late for the Pope, so they made his plane turn around.
Made his plane turn around?
Yeah. They made him circle while Obama and Biden were there for the greeting ceremony. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Was Hillary there?
I don't know if she was there, but you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I am. It is strange, though, that the... I don't know. I would say that's just about unprecedented.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here to defend the Pope and the rest of that. I'm not Catholic, blah, 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 blah. But I can't imagine. Has there been another president and vice president who have both been late to the arrival of a dignitary like the Pope?
That's amazing.
Has that happened before? Ever? I suppose maybe it has, but I haven't heard about it.
Not to one, I believe, that had such ceremonial meaning behind everything. I mean, you know, Obama has been, you know, putting out all his photos with him and the Pope, and it's surprising.
I think what happened is he bought a bad hourglass from one of his Muslim buddies, and the sand jammed up.
Perhaps.
In the little narrow place there in the hourglass.
Perhaps.
And so he's a little bit late.
Now that is really amazing.
You were going to say funny, but you didn't want to encourage me, did you? So,
no.
No, I'm not going to say funny. That'll only encourage him.
No, it isn't funny. It really is amazing.
It's absurd.
It is.
It's just absurd. I don't know. There may have been a big basketball game or something going on that Obama wanted to watch.
Well, maybe he was finishing a golf game.
Yeah, maybe. Got to keep your priorities. Yeah.
I do get a question in, since we're talking about, this isn't quite the Arabs and so forth, Muslims, but this question is in for Ivan. You say Ivan, I say Ivan. According to the European Union Times...
I say tomato, what do you say?
I do say tomato, too. I don't say tomato. According to the European Union Times, Russian Marines clashed with ISIS near Latakia in Syria on Sunday, and this is according to Russian media. During the fight, the Marines allegedly killed several militants, captured others, and after ISIS attempted to attack an airbase that was operated by Russian military. And again, this was reported by the Russian newspaper. Interestingly, the newspaper also reported the ISIS militants possessed a detailed plan of the airbase and clear satellite imagery with the marked key military installations. But Russia has only been operating the base for the past 2 weeks. That begs the question, who provided ISIS with that kind of intelligence? Could the USA and or Israel have provided this information?
Well, this whole thing in Syria is going to just blow up into something crazy. There are people who argue, who believe, I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but there are people who believe that ISIS is really funded and created by the United States. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I can't say. But it's one of those crazy stories that might be true. Well, if it is, this explains why we haven't been able to simply crush ISIS and be done with it. Because, in fact, they're doing our government's bidding, and they're playing a card that the government wants played. Well, what is the government going to say if the Russians step in and essentially wipe out ISIS? What's the government going to say? Say, no, those were our best guys. You can't be shooting our troops. They can't say that. They can't defend ISIS. And I don't doubt for a minute that the Russians can take ISIS and wipe them out. And if they do, everybody's going to say, what happened to the United States? How come you guys didn't do it? And what's the United States going to say if Russia succeeds in handling ISIS? They can't defend ISIS even if ISIS is their fair-haired child. And what are they going to say if Russia succeeds in wiping them out and the United States is shown to be incapable of wiping them out? This is a no-lose situation. I mean, putting the Russians into Syria, this is almost a guaranteed no-lose situation for the United States. And it'll be interesting to see how they attempt to handle this.
Well, you know, you're right about all these stories and so forth, but we do know that the U.S. government, Israel, the Mossad, the CIA, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that they've, you know, backed and created and funded various groups and so forth, you know, to create situations to further their agenda. I mean, anymore, it's pretty much, you know, the game of the lands.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's how things get started. That's how things get stirred up. And this is how it seems wars have been created over the years. So,
but it's not just how wars are created. It's also how nations are destroyed.
Correct.
And I don't mean the nation of Iraq or whoever. I'm talking about the United States. Mm-hmm. If you're going to hire a bunch of mercenaries from some, who knows where you recruit them, out of the local pool hall or wherever, and they're going to do your dirty work for you, all right? That may seem clever, and it may seem we're going to fool all the yokels and the rest of that sort of thing. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not willing to do your own fighting, you will inevitably fail. You will inevitably be defeated by people who are willing to do their own fighting. There is something inherently dishonest. It may be clever. It may be effective. You know, there are people who believe, I think when we talked to Greg Hunter yesterday, I think it was Greg who mentioned that ISIS or members of Al-Qaeda were essentially encouraged by the United States and supported by the United States financially and militarily to take over Libya and get rid of Colonel Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The United States didn't want to be seen to be the great Satan going in there and trying to overthrow some legitimately elected government. So they created some sort of a false flag operation that could be blamed on someone else, even though the United States was behind it all. That's bad business. When you start behaving in a way that is fundamentally dishonest and deceitful, in my opinion, it eventually comes back to haunt you. You are more diminished by your fraud and your deceit than you are by standing up and saying, all right, the world doesn't like it, but we're gonna fight. We're going to invade. We're going to do what we think is right. Maybe we're even going to do what we think is wrong, but we aren't going to hide out. Because people are hiding out. It just indicates a level of vulnerability that does not bode well for the future, in my opinion.
You know, I like Patrick Buchanan. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody, you know, I get asked all the time, who do you follow? I don't follow anyone. I read. And I enjoy reading Patrick Buchanan. And yes, he's an insider and so forth. But, I mean, he has ways of writing that I don't – it makes you think and it makes you agree. And, you know, he talks about – the difference in the worlds of the, you know, here we are in the America of 1950 versus 2015. And, you know, he is talking about the Pope's arrival, not to get back to that, but I just wanted to bring this up, and I'm going to put his article in our newsletter this week. He says, in America, the 2015, you have homosexuality, abortion on demand, same-sex marriage. You know, these were shameful crimes in America at that point in time. They were mortal sins.
Yep.
In the Catholic Church. And now they've become constitutional rights.
And even the Pope himself has shown some willingness to tolerate some of these problems.
To bring,
not going
to
embrace them, but he's, you know, we don't have to chop their heads off.
No, and so it's a really good article, and if you folks can find it up on the internet, I'm sure if you just type in Patrick Buchanan, it's a great article. You can go to our website, dgscoins.com, sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you'll get this Well, I guess it would be next week's newsletter. But, you know, it just kind of hits home about where we're going and the, of the, you know, we talk about the morals and the values and where this country is headed. And we can't, I don't believe we can turn this country around.
I think
so
we can.
We need to have a change before we can turn it around.
I agree. And I think there have been some very intelligent people who have been working to destroy this cult, this country, and they have had enough intelligence to do it or attempt to do it by changing our culture. The culture being our system of values. And they say whittle away one at a time, and they give gay marriage, abortion on demand, all right? These are things that were part of the bedrock of what it was to be an American 50 years ago. And by whittling away at these, they change the culture and they turn us into a different people. And without that original culture, without respect for it and appreciation for it, we're going to be lost. But on the other hand, if we could go back and begin to say, look, this is what worked for 200 years for this country. We're going back to that. We're going to do what was right under the Constitution, under the Bible. We're going to do what's, we're going to do that. We're not going to clown around and give crazy rights to homosexuals who are essentially killing each other. They're debt, and again, and I know you don't entirely agree.
No, not anymore. It might have been true at one point in time.
Yeah, I think it still is. I think in well,
but it's beyond that, Al. That's my ultimate point.
It is one issue. It's only one issue. But my point is, the American people, in my opinion, need to begin to recognize and understand and respect and even defend their culture, because it's the culture that brought us at one point where we were the most powerful nation on earth and the richest nation on earth. We've abandoned that culture. We've assumed other values. We haven't defended the culture. And as a result, now we're the world's biggest debtor. We are vulnerable to great economic problems. Maybe political, maybe social. It comes from changing the culture. And once you set those changes in motion, they acquire a certain amount of momentum, and they're very difficult to defeat. But if you can recognize them and say, wait a second, this is a cultural problem. We need to push back against what might be construed as a neo-American culture, and restore a traditional culture. And if we understand, we can do it, if we care to. And if we're not going to do it, in my opinion, we're going to see some terrible things happen in this country.
And I don't know if this is true or not, but I mean, I think everybody always looked to the Catholic Church. I mean, because they always taught, and yeah, I'm not Catholic, and I've read books, you know, so I'm okay, I get all that. But they taught the Ten Commandments. They brought about the truce. And now they're all trying, now this Pope seems to be changing things, reform things, so to embrace those that went away from the church because of what they were doing was not accepted. So, you know, it's, and again, this is another sign of the times. So you have the Pope coming. So is he going to be talking about these morals, about America's moral crisis? Or is he going to talk? I mean, recently you read about he's concerned with climate change. I don't think that's something the Pope should be involved with, to talk about climate change or income inequality. Okay. They should go back to the Ten Commandments and the, you know, and it's, again, it's another sign of the time.
You ought to go back to being Catholic.
But I think the Catholic
rather than a progressive politician.
It was held there as a, oh, I don't know what I'm trying to express, as a form, as a to embrace the church, that things, the biggest, this is what you held everything up to. Does that make sense?
To some degree, you're trying to say they had a measure of integrity. That they stood by certain values and they would fight or die for them.
Yes, thank you.
All right?
So
where right now, they're just,
I get
another
all emotional.
Hustler. They're just another lobbyist, yeah. Right? How much money you got? How can we make the most money? How do we get the most people to show up? They don't have to be Catholics. We'll take Satanists. We'll take atheists. Anybody who wants to come, come on down. Well, let's increase the body count in our churches. Let's make more money. The whole thing has become just, I don't know, offensive, disgusting. and the people who are responsible for it to sit there and grin at you. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I, again, just want to remind the listeners to visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, and, of course, we have the radio programs that are archived there on a daily basis. We do have Canadian maple leaves that are available, and we still have some in our inventory. 1 ounce kangaroos, they're pretty much silver kangaroos are pretty much immediate delivery on those. $2.50 per box makes it a little easier for some of you folks who, you know, who like the
250 coins per box.
250 coins per box, yeah. Your silver eagles are sold 500, your Canadian maple leaves are sold 500 per box. And you know, sometimes folks are looking for a little bit smaller, better storage. 250 is a nice number. So it gives you a little bit gives you another option there. But they are there for immediate delivery. We also have Morgan silver dollars. Not sure how long they're going to be around. Price on those are staying steady at about $28. Their price never went down. And these are the pre-1921 circulated Morgan silver dollars. So we have those in inventory. And I'd be scooping them up all day long, because with the if this problem continues, which I expect to have this little bit of shortage problem perhaps into January of next year, there won't be any silver Morgans left, and you would see much higher prices on those. But they maintain their price very well, so give us a call. What's next, Al?
Scott Walker suspends presidential campaign, urges others to follow suit. This is from the Washington Times. I don't know. It's kind of strange to me. He has his reasons for making this, but one politician bows out and he says, "You should bow out too, the rest of you." You know, I mean, it's a little unusual.
And he did the jabs on Trump.
Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves 14 candidates for the Republican nomination for president. One down, 14 to go. It reminds me of the
old,
two down. Who else is gone?
Your governor from Texas, Perry.
Oh, Perry, you're right.
Yeah.
Perry, that's right. My mistake. Perry, I never thought of him as a serious candidate anyway. That was wishful thinking. I think I have a better chance than Mr. Perry, and I don't have any chance. In any case, 13 candidates left for the Republican nomination. It all reminds me of the Agatha Christie story, and then there were none.
Well, I think you're
one
correct.
One by one, they're starting to fall away.
I think you're correct on the 14. There was 16.
You're probably right.
And I think they even bumped. I think someone came in late, might have pumped it to 17. Well, I lost track. But
well, in any case, we'll call it a presidential dozen. It might be 12, it might be 13, it might be 14, it might be, but it's somewhere around there. A presidential dozen, you understand? And in any case, we've lost a couple of them, and we're going to start. There'll be more to go as time goes on. What do you think the chances are right now? How would you assess Trump's chances?
I really don't know. I really don't know. Anything can happen. I mean, Rand Paul, they did a straw poll. I don't know if it was in New Hampshire or somewhere, which New Hampshire, but they did it, and he won.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot going on that the media is not reporting properly. Of course, that's no big surprise. But so I really don't know. I find if Trump doesn't start saying other things other than he's a great guy and we're going to change this country and make America, he has to bring a little something more to it than that. If he doesn't, then it really does show how brain dead the American people are. I mean, but he's, you know, you have an article here on Icon, and you have, and you know, he's, I can't even imagine who Trump would bring in for all these positions. That's part that bothers me.
Yeah, I get his daughter Ivanka in there, and he's got his son. I mean, I don't know.
So
it's just like a reality. He knows how to run these reality programs.
Yeah, so I mean, that's my biggest problem with Trump. And Carly, I dropped her. There's no way I would want her in there. You know,
yeah, but she's number two in the Republican.
Yeah, but she has right all those CIA connect, you know, working with the CIA, and she talks about, you know, turning the government into, you know, one big computer. I don't want her in there. She's scary.
Looks a little bit mean spirited and shrewish. I don't remember who described her as shrewish, but I saw one columnist, and he has a point.
Well,
I don't know if I want her in the White House.
It's just
now, I don't know if I want any of them in the White House. I don't.
No.
You know, the whole thing is, you keep wondering, am I voting for the lesser of two evils again? Am I doing it again? But as for Trump, I think he's, you know, I said from the beginning on this, if Trump doesn't say something really stupid, I think he can win this thing. But his remark about Carly, and with a face like that, that was just dumb. It was uncalled for, it was stupid, and it's hurt him. Well, I doubt that it's hurt him and probably helped her in the end.
Sure.
So he's going to have to learn to shut his mouth sometimes because he thinks he's a billionaire who can shoot from the hip and it's all very charming and funny and the rest of that. No, he ain't going to be able to do that. You can tell the truth when you know it, and hooray for that. But if you're going to just smart off.
Well, he even made comments to Rand Paul during the debate about his looks.
Yeah.
And it's like,
It's cheap shots. It's high school. It's juvenile. And it's the sort of thing, if he doesn't stop it, he's going to be run out of the... He's going to be one of them to fall off to the side before this is over.
And I still come back to Ben Carson. I mean, I think he has the chance. There might be one other one, the Bobby Jindal. I like him, but he doesn't have a chance. I mean, he just doesn't have a chance. So if I had to think of anyone that has a chance, I think Ben Carson could have a chance.
Yeah, but he could have a chance. He seems like a nice guy. He'd be a great godfather for your kids, but he doesn't impress me as being presidential.
When he answers questions and you listen, he does. But he just doesn't carry he doesn't have the swagger, but you don't have to be loud and obnoxious in order to be the front runner.
But you got to carry a big stick, Melody. Speak softly and carry a big stick.
And I'm not saying Ben Carson is 100%, in everything. But I mean, at least he follows, the Bible. He's a Christian. He's, and I think to me that's what's important this time around. I think that's
It would be nice to get somebody in the White House who would at least admit what his faith was and be sincere in his faith.
Yes. And I think that's important this time around.
Well,
if we're
going
to change anything in this country, we need to have that.
Let's see. I've got one down here. Here's something now. This is a poll that goes along. This was in the Washington Examiner today. And the headline is poll. Almost half say feds are an immediate threat. And my response is, thank God. 49% of people asked in a new Gallup survey say the federal government poses, quote, an immediate threat to the rights and freedoms of ordinary citizens, unquote. And another 19% say the federal government is too big in general and puts forth too many laws. 49% recognize that the government is our principal enemy. Yay! Hooray! Hooray! We have seen a kind of change where people are waking up and becoming Americans again. A lot of people sit back and say, you can't say you're an American if you're against the government. Yeah, you can. You can make a compelling argument. You can sit back and ask people, do you believe being a good American means living in harmony with the Constitution of the United States? And I think most people say, being a good American means living in harmony. And what with the Constitution of the United States? And what was the fundamental idea behind that Constitution? It is an anti-government document. The genius of the United States Constitution is that it is probably the first Constitution, maybe the only Constitution that the world has ever seen that was intentionally anti-government. It's the reason. It is the Founding Fathers understood that the government of the United States was always, would always be the principal threat to liberty and freedom in this country. You don't have to worry about the Germans didn't take any of our freedoms. The Nazis didn't take our freedoms. They may have been difficult or bad to deal with in terms of business. They didn't take our freedoms. We have people telling us, the military are fighting for our freedoms. My response to them is name two. Name two freedoms that the American military has fought for in your lifetime and mine. Freedom of the press, freedom of speech, right to keep and bear arms. Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. Which of our freedoms have the military fought for? And the answer is zero. They don't fight for any of our freedoms because none of our freedoms are being threatened by people overseas. In the end, the Muslims, unless you let enough of them into this country, they don't pose a real threat to our freedoms. Their freedoms are not affected by what's going on in the Middle East or in Asia or whatever. Not the freedoms. If our military was going to defend us against those who are taking our freedoms, who takes our freedoms besides the people in Washington, D.C., and Austin, Texas, and the various state capitals? We're losing our freedoms to our government. We are not losing our freedoms to any foreign power. Our founders understood that, and it's the reason why they gave us checks and balances. It was to keep the government from overwhelming us. It's the reason they gave us three different branches of government, and they gave us division of powers, separation of powers, where one branch would be fighting with the other branch, fighting with the third branch, but they couldn't act coherently as a single unit. It was to protect us from government powers. And when they gave us freedom of speech, it was primarily political speech, where if one of us sees the government pulling some stunt, we can stand up and say, look, look what the governor just did. Look what the president just did. We have the freedom to point that out to essentially alert our friends and neighbors and other people in the United States of America that, look, these SOBs, they are betraying our trust. They are trying to rob us, exploit us, defeat us, destroy us. That's what freedom of speech is all about. Freedom of the press is the same thing. Freedom of religion, same thing. Protect us against the government. It's not supposed to be separation of church and state. It's in the sense that the church can't say anything about the state. It's supposed to be separation in the sense that the state leaves the church alone and leaves the church to say what needs to be said to help educate the people to understand when the government is out of line. It's very much like freedom of the press or freedom of speech. Second Amendment. Everybody seems to think that the Second Amendment is here to shoot the Russians or the Chinese if they invade across the Bering Strait, or it's to shoot deer or ducks or something. It is not. There is a document that's commonly called the preamble to the Bill of Rights. It's the cover letter that went out with the Bill of Rights in 1787 when the Bill of Rights were proposed. No, it wasn't. It was later than that. It was a couple of years after that, 1789, if I recall correctly. Yeah, 89. It was the cover letter from Congress. They said, look, we've got 13 amendments we're proposing here. It was sent out, copies were sent to each of the states, and the states were asked to respond which amendments they supported and which they did not. The states supported 10 of the 13 amendments. Those came to be called our Bill of Rights. But the document that sent that proposed what became our Bill of Rights, it says the conventions of a number of the states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers. In other words, they say that, well, I'll go on, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. These further declaratory and restrictive clauses were and are our Bill of Rights. And they are telling us that the purpose of the Bill of Rights is, they are saying expressly, the purpose, they quote, to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, meaning to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. That's what the Bill of Rights are there for. Who has powers under the Constitution? The Chinese invaders pouring over the Bering Strait? The ducks? The deer? The Nazis? They got nothing under the Constitution. The only people that can misconstrue or abuse the powers of the Constitution are the people in Washington, D.C., in the House, in the Senate, in the White House, in the bureaucracies. The Bill of Rights was intended to protect you and me from excess government, from misconstruction or abuse of the powers. Essentially official oppression. That's what the Bill of Rights are all about. The founders understood this is the great genius of the Constitution of the United States. It recognized that government was inevitable and perhaps necessary, but it treated it as a necessary servant. What did George Washington say? He said, government, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. At no point did George Washington say, oh, government, you can trust, the government's here to help you. You know you can trust the government. He says it is like a dangerous servant or a fearful master, and he was saying don't ever turn your back on the SOBs. They didn't trust the government. They had to have one, but they didn't trust it, and that's why we have an anti-government constitution, and that was the genius of the United States of America. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. After we finished, after we broke for commercials, Melody asked me if I felt better after my little rant, and I told her not quite. It was kind of like rantus interruptus. You understand? You got to finish your rant, or it's just not completely satisfying. Just want to finish up on this article again. Poll: almost half say feds are an immediate threat. 49% of the people in a new Gallup poll said they think the federal government poses an immediate threat to the rights and freedoms of ordinary citizens. I agree with them 100%. I think it's cause for celebration that people are beginning to wake up and understand that the government is not simply a misguided, bumbling oaf who sometimes does stupid things, but instead understand, as the founding fathers did, that you couldn't trust these people as far as you can throw them. All right? You've got to defend against these. And anytime somebody from a government says, oh, you can trust me, tell them to get off the stage. Don't trust any politician. It's un-American to trust politicians. As I started explaining in the first place, I said, to be a good American, if you accept the argument that the premise that being a good American means living in harmony with the principles of the Constitution of the United States, then being a good American means you don't trust any politician, any government employee, you don't trust any of them. And we've lost that, and as we have, we are in danger of losing a great deal more. Just a few more statistics. Though the sentiment has been felt generally by the same percentage of Americans for the past 5 years, fewer than a third of those asked believed it when they were first asked in 2003. The sentiment is rising. Another 15% of those asked worry the federal government violates too many freedoms and civil rights. 13% see the government as a threat to the Second Amendment. 10% believe the government has too much involvement in people's lives. 6% view it as a socialist government. 6% worry that we are losing our freedom of speech. And the same percentage of people asked fear that the federal government will take away the freedom of religion. All right. We are the 800-pound gorilla. And any time we want to get up off the couch at the same time and stamp our feet, this whole country will shake. But we have to want to get up off the couch. All right? It's not enough to wait for somebody else to stand up and fight for your freedoms and say, oh, let's fight for the military. Hooray for the military. They're fighting for our freedoms. Bunch of crap. The military, again, name two. They haven't fought for any freedoms in my lifetime, and nor in yours. And you can't name any American freedoms that have been threatened by a foreign adversary. Right? There's been no meaningful threat to our freedoms by a foreign adversary. The only person taking it to government, stand up. You don't want to lose your freedom, stand up to the government. Who's we've got a comment on the by email,
yes.
Melody, is that true?
Yes, we do, and I got another one in. And it is true. I mean, well, let's read this one, and I'll get to the other one. It's about Russia and ISIS, and the comment was, Russia won't beat ISIS. Russia's military track record over the past 30 years has been pretty poor, especially against Muslim jihadis. They lost the war in Afghanistan and suffered 15,000 dead. They had to trash Chechnya in order to partially squash a vicious insurgency there. And Russians lost 30,000 dead. They managed to grab Crimea because the Ukrainians chose not to resist. ISIS is well-armed, highly trained, and has a steady stream of recruits. Russia is just hoping to leave a small pocket of Syria controlled by Assad. In the end, it won't work.
Well, that's possible, but I'm inclined to see. You're talking about Russia and its losses under the Soviet Union. Russia itself, under Putin, has not yet been tested in a meaningful way. I don't think Putin's going to sit still for loss. I don't think he's going to get into a fool's errand, but I don't think he's going to tolerate a loss. This is not your grandfather's Soviet Union. This is modern-day Russia, and I think they're ready to rock. Now, I could be mistaken, but we are going to watch and see. If Putin gets in, I think he's going in with both feet, and it's going to be more trouble than ISIS can handle. They're not going to fool around and try to play nice, in my opinion. They're not going to get caught in any, oh, gee, what will the public say? What will news media say? I don't think that's going to mean much to Russia. What will mean something is they are going to have to win. And in part, they have to win for the reasons that were specified in this email. Somebody says, oh, they haven't won anything in years. Well, yeah, that's true. If Putin wants to build Russia into a nation, he needs a victory. Right? He needs to show that they are not the chumps who got dragged into Afghanistan and run out. He needs to show that Russia can do something. And I would bet that he is determined. If he's going in, he's going to be as much trouble as they know how to be, and I think that's more than ISIS can handle. But who can say? I can't tell you my opinion is, you know, I'm not telling it's God's truth. I'm just saying that's the way it looks to me. What's the next one, Melody?
Well, we didn't do so well in Afghanistan either.
Yeah. We're, but it's not over yet, Melody. We're still there, and we're looking the other way when the Afghan generals and commanders and whatever are raping little boys. We are, it's part of our policy for the Americans with the eagle and the flag and fighting for freedom and democracy. We're not going to defend children that have been raped by Afghan generals.
And remember, you know, how many multi-millions of dollars was used to train 4 or 5 Islamic soldiers? I mean, to me, those numbers are incredible. And it's like no one is really talking about it. No one is even taking...
It's just evidence of complete fraud. They didn't train anybody. They had a hard time finding 5. They said, what about Iman over here?
I did hear 9.
We must have given him some training. Come on, we got to have at least 5 people.
I did hear up to 9.
Oh, wow. See, we've almost doubled.
We doubled.
Yeah, just... In no time at all we'll be taking over the whole Middle East with our trainees.
And there's another part to this question, and at the end of the month, the possibility the government will shut down. And what do you think the chances are? I know that is your come on, baby, close down, but
everybody, you see people talking about a government shutdown as if it would be a bad thing. That's what disturbs me. I'm sitting here and thinking, wait, you know, people, oh my gosh, we can't have a government shutdown. Why not? You know, why not? We've had it before. It's happened before.
Nothing happens. Everybody gets paid.
Well. Yeah, but at least you get a little rest for a while. You know, you can go back to just watch news from Hollywood. Dancing with the Stars. The government isn't doing anything anymore. That's not entirely true, but regardless, I have no objection to a government shutdown. I would celebrate if someone just came along and said, look, we're going to cut the government by 40% across the board. They say, oh, no, we can't. We got, oh, bunk. This nation is being destroyed by its own government. They like to tell us about all the foreign threats and the foreign enemies, the foreign adversaries, and the people over there are doing one thing or another, and gee, they're just causing us trouble. But the real enemy, the real adversary to the people of the United States of America is the government of the United States. They're the ones that are refusing to protect our borders from invasion by illegal aliens. They're the ones that shipped our jobs and industries, or many of them, to third world countries. And left us with what? Service jobs? And we're paying for that. We're paying for that treachery. They're the ones that are working for the North American Union and trying to bring enough illegal aliens into this country where the United States will become, and Mexico will become de facto same country. And can then Canada. And we have a North American Union which will eventually be welded into the New World Order. There's no proviso in our Constitution for our government to support a New World Order or a North American Union. It does not exist. It is an unconstitutional objective. It's evidence of treason committed against the people of the United States of America by the government of the United States. So, a government shutdown? Hey, make my day. it's like, oh no. I feel like Brer Rabbit. Whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch. Please don't throw me in the briar patch. Please don't shut down the government. Oh my gosh. Actually, I'd be happy if you did. You could shut it down for 6 months or a year. It'd be like a jubilee. You know, they had this one time in early American history. There was a point in time before the American Revolution. this is such a funny story. King George was offended by the colonists. They were doing something that aggravated him one way or another. And so he decided that he would shut down the governments of the colonies, the English governments, the English, you know, that were working for England. He would just shut them down, and he would deprive them of the benefit of English governance. And he did. And the American people got along just fine. In fact, they started to prosper more so than they had in the past. They were making more money. They were becoming more prosperous. They were more inventive. They were building new businesses and factories and whatever, you know, within the limits of the time. And he was told by one of his advisors, you better get the government back in there pretty fast before these people realize they don't need us. And they did. They said, okay, we've punished you enough. Now we're bringing the government back in. The truth of the matter is, they are not going to punish us by shutting down the government, give us cause for celebration. I know that some people depend on the government in ways that are, you can't easily replace, I get that. But that dependence is not a good thing. We are much better off if we find out how to support ourselves and provide for our own retirement than if we rely on government. Everybody here, virtually everyone listening to this program has relied on government to provide for your retirement with Social Security. Right? To one degree or another, almost everyone here is counting on Social Security. You may have other pension plans or whatever. Well, do you get Social Security? Yeah, I get the money out of the government. Do you? Will you really? What has the government done with the money you have given to Social Security, contributed to Social Security over the years? The government has grabbed it as soon as it came in the door, gave Social Security an IOU, and Social Security really doesn't have any funds. They don't have anything stored up for you. They're just living on whatever's coming in the door has been used to pay Social Security checks for whoever is collecting. Primarily, that's what's happening. And if things go south, the government's going to say, oh, my gosh, you won't believe it, but Social Security's broke. We don't know. Gee, where did the money go? The money went to the government, who took your government, who said to heck with your retirement and to heck with your trust in government. They would grab the money and use it for themselves to make bigger and better government. And we're going to all be exposed to that before this is over. I don't know when Social Security is going to collapse, but it's going to happen. And those people who have depended on it and depended on the government and relied on government, they will protect me. They will be. The government is my savior. You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of financial ruin, I shall fear no evil, for the government is there to carry my weight. You're going to find out that's all a bogus prayer. We are headed for a moment where we're going to see some serious problems. And those of you who trusted in government, those of you who didn't grab hold of the spirit of the Constitution and say, you know, we can't trust those guys. If I want to take care of my retirement, it's up to me to make the necessary sacrifices and to collect my wealth and store it in a form that the government can't grab. My responsibility.
And you know what, Al? It shouldn't take a million plus for people to retire either. That's part of the big problem.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem where people have to look towards the government because of the cost of things anymore. The cost of living, our standard of living, is so expensive and high. And why? Why? Goes
well,
back
part
to
the reason
number
is
one
because
thing.
We haven't, our standard of living hasn't genuinely increased since the 1970s. Why?
Since
because government has consistently just raised taxes, raised regulations, what drove businesses out of this country.
How did government get the opportunity to have no regulation that really let them do whatever they wanted to do as far as spending, to create all these programs? What allowed them to do that?
Well, because people in Congress make whatever laws they think they can get away with.
No, it all goes back to the Federal Reserve, it goes back to taking us off the gold standard, it goes back to our monetary policy. Mm-hmm. And by taking us off the gold standard, it allowed them to write all these blank checks or whatever you want to call them and to put us in the situation where people can't have too hard of a time living. I mean, look at the cost of everything.
Yep.
Fuel, our heating oil, our food, everything.
Inflation didn't really begin in this country to a serious degree until after they took us completely off the gold standard.
It started in the 50s. You'll really see it start in the 50s, after the war.
That's when it becomes more apparent. But people trace it back 1913, 14 with the onset of the Federal Reserve. You know, you can point to a bunch of different
things.
Well,
it was pretty slow. You really started to see it gapping up in the 50s. Yes.
It takes time to get it started.
Well, they had to earn the people's, hey, we're here to help you.
Yeah, right.
We're
and
good
we're
for
dumb
you.
Enough to, here,
yes.
We're going to hear. Here's a free
years.
Lunch.
Yeah.
Step right up and get your free lunch. Well, day is coming when you're going to find out there are no more free lunches, and you are going to have to dance to the piper if you want to eat. And you're going to get there if you don't take care of yourselves, if you don't take responsibility. Stand up. Don't let the government get away with all this crap. Start fighting. Recognize your culture. Respect it. Fight for it. And see if we can put government back in the hidey hole it came out of. We might be able to reestablish freedom and liberty in this country, and it would be a great blessing if we did. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Money, money, always.